Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. This is the word of the Lord for us.
So last weekend was the Masters Tournament in Augusta, Georgia. For fans of golf, this is one of the highlights of the year, a fantastic tournament. The winner, if you were following the tournament or know anything about it or caught the headlines, of course, was American Scottie Scheffler. He shot 11 under, and that's over the course of four rounds of playing it. This was actually his second time donning the green jacket, having won it in 2022 as well. And so here's a guy who, even though he's won now two major golf tournament championships, he was actually the first player to win the Players' Championship in back-to-back years, which were 23 and 24. And he's currently the world number one, a ranking that he's held for over 80 weeks. When he was being interviewed last weekend, he said, and I quote, "Golf is a tremendously huge part of my life, but it doesn't define me as a person. Golf is a tremendously huge part of my life, but it doesn't define me as a person." There was a brief pause in that press conference, and then one of the reporters goes, "So what does define you?" Aha. There it is. Like, he's a follower of Jesus. If you saw my social media, I think it was yesterday, I posted a link to a video with some of these clips. He's a follower of Jesus, and in fact, he even confessed that back 2 years ago in 2022, when he won, when he was elevated to that stage, that he really didn't give Christ enough credit. So here he is again, 2 years later, same situation, and he's asked, "What defines you?" And Scheffler came through. He said, "I believe in Jesus. Ultimately, I think that is what defines me the most." It's wonderful. Now, sure, I'm a sucker for a good sports story where the athlete gives credit to God. Like full disclosure, like, I love those stories. But here's what struck me about last weekend. This was not just yet another run-of-the-mill person on the podium saying, "And I want to thank God." This was not that. This was not just someone giving a shout out, "Yeah, thanks to the Lord who gave me these abilities." This was someone who is saying, "Golf is just something I do." That was another quote. "Golf is just something I do." It's not who he is. He has an identity that's rooted in Christ. In fact, he said also, "If I win or lose or never golf again, nothing changes. Jesus still loves me." He's all in for Jesus. And so this morning, as we turn to God's word, I want to encourage us with that as well, that he's inviting us to go all in, just as we heard from the scripture a moment ago that Jordan read, as he calls those disciples, like, "Leave that behind and come and follow me." He's inviting us to go all in for him, your whole life given for God's glory. So this morning we find ourselves in week three of this sermon series that we're calling All In. And we're looking at these words of Jesus. We're looking very closely at one particular verse in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples this, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." And so that's what we've talked about the last two Sundays, is denying self, taking up our cross. And so this morning, we're going to be encouraged with that last part from the words of our Lord Jesus, where he says, follow me. So let me introduce myself. My name is John Reisner. I serve as lead pastor here at MCA. I'm thrilled that you're with us today, and I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow stronger in the Lord. Knowing Jesus can happen in a single moment. In a single moment, a decision to know Christ. And yet, following Jesus happens over the course of your entire lifetime. Following Jesus, growing in him, serving him. You can talk to Jesus about everything. So you grow as a person of prayer as you follow him. You grow as a person of prayer. You grow closer to him by studying his word. You get into the word of God and it begins to convict you and shape you and form you and influence you. And you realize that the decisions you make are based on the scriptures. And your thinking and your attitude and your approach to life is based on the word of God. You connect with other followers of Jesus. Like when you make this decision, this is the lifetime of growing as a follower of Jesus. You're drawn to other people who share that same faith. And they may not have your same skin tone, use your same language, come from your same background, but you recognize that there is something there and you call them a brother, you call them a sister, because they share the same Heavenly Father. And so you grow in community, in relationship. You seek out authentic Christian community who will challenge you and encourage you and walk alongside you. You worship with others. That's what we're doing this morning. But you also worship by yourself. You learn what it is to live a life of worship. You learn what it is to each and every day lift up gratitude and praise and thanks to an almighty God for all he has done. And so in these things that I've mentioned, like becoming a person of prayer and studying God's word and fellowship with others and learning to worship, like that's the adventure of following Jesus. That's the lifetime of growing in him and serving him. That is, what, as Jesus says in John 10:10, the abundant life. And it's a life that begins now, and it's a life that goes on and on and on into all eternity. As you pursue Christ, he changes you. And so I want to pose a question this morning that will really frame the rest of the sermon. A question for us to grapple with together today. What happens when you decide to follow Jesus? What happens? If you make this decision, you hear the invitation, Matthew 16:24. If you want to be my disciple, and you lean in, yeah, I want to be your disciple. You must deny yourself, and you say, okay, I'm choosing to deny myself. In other words, it is not about me. You must take up your cross, and you say, okay, I am gladly going to lay down my life, because my life is nothing apart from Christ. And now you're ready to say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to learn his ways. I want to walk as he walked. I want him to be in charge of my life. And so you press on to know him and to serve him and to walk with him. And you want to model your life after the life of Jesus. And you're going to seek his will, and you're going to seek his direction in all areas of life, in every decision you make. Should I watch this? Should I go there? Should I forgive that? Should I marry him? Should I go out for the team? Should I keep rooting for the Browns? We give it all to Christ. We follow where he leads. We submit to his lordship in all areas of life, including our finances. Should I buy these sneakers? Should I take that job? By the way, do you know what the least expensive kind of teeth are? Buck teeth. See, here's what happens is the follower of Jesus recognizes, I am a steward of that which God already owns. It's not mine. It belongs to him. And so we are to be stewards, yes, of our finances and of our resources, but stewards of our time as well. How would God have me use the limited amount of time that he's given me? Stewards of our influence. The places where I'm given a voice and a platform, the people that listen to me and follow me, how will I use that influence? Will I use it for kingdom purposes? Stewards of our gifts and abilities. We should very cautiously steward our marriages, our families, our relationships. We should be good stewards of our energy, of our focus. We can't always be distracted. We can't chase down every rabbit hole. We must take those things and put them under the lordship of Jesus. Say, God, help me to steward my energy and my focus. See, if our goal is to know Jesus, to grow in relationship with him, to be close with him, and so we're going to go all in our pursuit of him. And when you do that, he gives you a new identity. So this is the first answer to our question of what happens when you decide to follow Jesus. What happens is he gives you a new identity. We're all following someone. We're all following something, a sports team, a celebrity, a social movement, a company, a brand, a product, an influencer, a newscaster, a politician. And really, you don't have to look very far to see people, even us. We're like right here in this room. And we're known for, our identity is in those things that we follow, those things that we're about. He's a sports nut. She's a Swiftie. Are you blue or red? Are you Coke or Pepsi? Are you Mac or PC? Are you Android or iPhone? Like, do you like pineapples on pizza or not? Like, sometimes those are the things that we're known for. And so I want to say, like, for the follower of Jesus, it's our relationship with him that should be our primary and identity and our defining characteristic. It's our relationship with Jesus. That is our identity. When you make this decision and say, I want to follow Jesus, then you're not just a fan. You're not just a casual, well, I'll just cheer him on every now and then. You become family. This is what the scripture affirms over and over and over and over. The family of God. When you put your trust in him, you become his child. You are his son. You are his daughter. You now have a good, loving, heavenly father. In John chapter 1, Jesus speaks to this. He says, it says of him, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you choose to follow him, you become a child of God. That is your identity. So yesterday I had a little bit of time at home. The Reisner kids, some of the youngest ones, had been squawking about cookies. Can we make cookies? And even had dreamed up some creative ideas for, could we do that? Could we make that? We don't always like to just go with the standard recipes. So we were able to make cookies together. It was awesome. We had a blast. We got some marshmallows going in there. We got some peanut butter chips and chocolate chips and bought some Rolos that we were using. We used some cake mix as part of the batter. At one point, we were putting in different food dye, squirt of chocolate syrup. Like, it was really interesting. I don't see Elijah in here. I didn't ask him yet. He's, I think, the only one who tried the cookie that had all of There was one that had all of those in it. It was like, okay, this is the, like, super-de-duper cookie. And I think Elijah's the only one who tried it. And, of course, everyone, in that context, everyone wants to just eat the candy. We're like, well, guys, We're working towards something here. We are making these cookies, but it's like, oh, I just want to eat the goodies and the candies. And dads love to give good things to their kids. Dads love it when you're able to do that and spend that quality time and say, all right, yeah, you can have a couple of those, but save some because we're going to need them for the cookies as well. And you know what they say? Good dads let you lick the beaters. Great dads turn off the mixer first. And the reason I mention that is to say, how much more does God give us good things? How much more does he delight in us and cherish those times spent with us and want to bestow upon us things way better than weird cookie recipes? He wants to give us all the good things that he has in mind and that he has planned for us. And he wants to spend time with his children. And he wants to hear their laughter. And he wants to walk with them through all of life's ups and downs. Through the ups, through the downs, through the all-arounds, through the roundabouts. Like, the Lord wants to be a part of that. Just as an earthly father is just leaning into his kids and takes great delight in his kids, how much more does our heavenly Father take great delight in us as we come to him and approach him as his children? He calls you his child. I want you to hear that this morning. If you're choosing to follow Jesus and putting your trust in him, God says, you are my child. And he's calling you to something greater than what you have in mind. He's calling you to trust him, and he's calling you to follow him. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 4 this morning. I do want to jump into this story of Jesus calling his first disciples that Jordan read for us a few moments ago. Starting in verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, and check this out, here's their identity, for they were fishermen. All around town, no matter where they went, that's who they were, that's their identity, that's what they're about. Jesus says to them in verse 19, come, follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. And if you know something of the life of Peter, like he's a really interesting character in the scriptures. And he goes from being this fisherman to being a very powerful force in the kingdom of God. Like, we learned this recently when we were doing a sermon series in the book of Acts, that when he preaches, people get saved. When he prays, people get healed. He is a rock. That's what his name means. He is a rock in the early church. He's a hero in the faith. And Jesus gives him a brand new identity. He gives him a new assignment. It's not just catching fish anymore. Oh, it's kind of like that. But it's not fish, it's people. God gives you a new identity when you follow him. Also, when you follow Jesus, he sends you out on mission. This is the second answer to our question of what happens when we choose to follow Jesus. He sends you out on mission. See, if Peter knew anything, he knew about catching fish. He knew the weather conditions, he knew the water conditions, he knew the patterns of marine life. Like, this is what he was about. This was his life, this was his livelihood. But God is going to use him, as we just said, not to just catch fish anymore, but to catch people. Man, that just hits home as I think about it. You know how to teach. Are you using that to teach people about Jesus? You have a big heart and you care. You're a person that's filled with compassion. You care for people when they're suffering, when they're hurting, when they're lost, when they're confused. Is God using that heart of compassion to motivate Christ-inspired love and the good news of the gospel being shared to those who are going to perish in the flames of hell? Or maybe you have the gift of hospitality, like you like to make meals and invite people into your home. You just have that knack for, like, you make people feel welcome. They feel at ease. They don't feel awkward. It's like there's just something about your personality or your home or your decor or some way of being inviting and welcoming. Are you using that gift to invite and welcome people into the family of God, into relationship with Almighty God through his son Jesus? Or maybe you're more hands-on. You know about, like, building stuff. And I think just as Jesus calls out to Peter, like, hey, you know about fishing for fish, but come and follow me. I want you to fish for people. God would say to you, you know about building stuff, but I want to use you to build my kingdom. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And we are privileged and we are honored that when you choose to follow Jesus and he gives you this new identity, he also sends you out on mission. He wants you to be a kingdom builder. So listen, being sent out, sometimes I think we just wrongly categorize that as like, well, I did a mission trip one time and we raised some funds and we went to this place. Like, yes, that's good. And I'm for those short-term mission trips. We're supporting our youth mission team right now who's raising funds for their trip this summer. That's good. I'm for that. I just want us to recognize that mission is not just reserved for a mission trip. Mission should be part of everyday life. It's said of the church, we gather to worship and we scatter to witness. In your school, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, the places that God has you, and he has you there to serve, to love, to bless, and to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. We're sent out on mission. So if we go to John chapter 13, we see Jesus and Peter, and they have another encounter. So let's turn there. John chapter 13. Jesus and Peter, the fisherman turned evangelist and church leader. And this happens on Maundy Thursday, that is the day before Jesus' death. If we go to verse 36, we're in John chapter 13. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. And Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Peter's all in. Well, or so he thinks. I mean, that's his intention, it's to be all in. But Jesus had to endure the cross alone. So there were limits there. As Jesus says, come and follow me, Jesus isn't saying, because I want you to do my job. Jesus had to endure the cross alone. And he issues this prophetic word to Peter. In the next verse, verse 38, Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Yeah. Just what Jesus said. Peter fell hard. He fell really hard. Here's a guy who was following Jesus. Here's a guy who was all in, and yet he says he doesn't know Jesus. He disowns Christ. And just as he's denying Jesus for the third time, he hears a sound, and it's... Just as he's doing it for the third time, calling down curses from heaven, swearing, I don't know him, I've never met him. But guys, listen, God doesn't just use perfect people. God takes people who fail, who mess up. He takes people who need grace, just like Peter. And that's all of us. We all fall short. We're all imperfect. We all need God's guidance. We all need God's correction. So there's another conversation with Peter I want to take us to in John chapter 21. And this is after the resurrection. Jesus spends time with his followers before he ascends, before he says, I'm going to make a place for you. So if we go to John 21, starting verse 15. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Three times Peter had denied that he even knew Jesus. Three times Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And each and every time, not only does Peter declare, "Yes, I do love you," but in response, Jesus then gives him the mission. He calls him. You're sent. I'm not done with you. This is like a rededication. This is like an undoing of the wrongs that had taken place. Three times you failed me. It's almost like this is what's being communicated. Three times you failed me, Peter. Three times you denied me, you disowned me. And now three times I'm going to affirm that you're mine. And I'm going to affirm that I'm not done with you and that I'm sending you out on mission. Feed my sheep. I love this passage. Like, this is such balm for my soul. Don't keep beating yourself up. Don't stay in the hurt. Don't stay in the pain. Don't live in the past. Don't lose sight of your mission. Don't allow your failure to stop you or to silence you. The God of this universe has an assignment for you. And as many times as you've failed, as many times as you've messed up, he calls to you again. Do you love me? Yep. Okay, so then get to work. That's exactly what happens in this encounter with Peter. And you say, "Well, I messed up before, so I'll just mess it up again." No, God will carry out his work through you, and he will do it by his might and by his power. That's what we read in Zechariah 4. Not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's when he's talking about rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Because that's what our God can do. He can rebuild what's been torn down. He can repair what's been broken. He can restore that which has been fractured. He can replenish that which is empty. He can redeem and refresh and revive and replant and repurpose anyone who's willing to turn to him. Because when we choose to follow Jesus, he makes you whole. That's the third answer to our question this morning of what happens. He gives you a new identity. He sends you out on mission, and he makes you whole. There is a God-shaped hole in each and every one of us that only Christ can fill. You're never going to be complete apart from him. You're never going to have peace. You're never going to have hope until you confess your need for a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. So you're never going to be fulfilled. You're never going to be whole. You're never going to find your purpose. You're never going to know true healing or true forgiveness. You're never going to know the abundant life apart from Christ. That's what happens when you follow Jesus, is he makes you whole. You know that you're forgiven and redeemed. You belong to him. He saves you from the eternity that you deserve, which is being punished for your sins and separated from a holy and loving God, and he offers you eternal life. And that happens not based on your good deeds. That happens based on the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. He offers eternal life to all who call on him in faith. He makes us whole. So, church, this morning I want to pray the prayer of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. See, when you decide to follow Jesus, he's going to seep into every area of your life. He's going to shine his light, even into the dark areas of your life. And if you cringe a little bit at that, let me just assure you, it's worth it. He's going to shine his light into every area of your life. He's going to bring to the surface everything that's hidden. Why? Not so that he will shame you, so that he can heal you. He wants to make you whole. You see, Christ has already gone all in for us. When we say we should go all in for Jesus, it's like we're not doing anything he hasn't done. He's already gone all in for us by offering his life. by going and preparing a place for us in eternity. He's gone all in for us, so give him lordship of your life. With God in charge of your life, I want you to hear this. You can't fail. Oh, you'll make mistakes. Your flesh will get in the way. Your sinful nature will compete. But you can't fail when God is in charge of your life because he doesn't make mistakes. So give him lordship. Let him direct your daily life. Jesus says this really plainly, really bluntly in John 14, 15. If you love me, he says, keep my commands. Just as he said to Peter 3 times, do you love me? Then go and do what I'm calling you to do. So let me just close this morning by asking that question. What is God calling you to do? Having heard this great truth, having studied now over these past 3 weeks, the call of Jesus saying, do you want to be my disciple? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. What is it that he's calling you to do? Are you ready for your next step in your faith journey? And maybe you're here today, you've never chosen Jesus. I pray today would be that day, be the day of salvation. In fact, come and meet up with me after the service. I would be honored to pray with you, to go with you before God's throne of grace, that you would lay down your life for the cause of Christ, that you would ask forgiveness and begin to walk in loving communion with God, your Heavenly Father. What is it that God's calling you? Have you been baptized? What's holding you back? Have you been holding on to all of your finances and you're not giving a tithe back to the Lord? Start tithing. Are you still enslaved to that sin? And you know it's got a stronghold in your life, but you really still kind of like it, and you're really kind of not sure how you're going to beat it. And God's saying, I want you to walk in victory. I want you to be set free. It's time to get it right. It's time to take it to the Lord. What are you hiding in the dark that God needs to shine his light on? And again, when God brings those things to the surface, it's not to shame you, it's to heal you. And that's what God wants for you today. If you're going to say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus, let his light shine on you and shine on all of you. Are you struggling with fear? Lay it before the Lord today. Maybe you're struggling because you make silly decisions. Maybe you pursue mindless entertainment rather than spending time with the Lord or in God's Word. And you know it's foolish and you know it's silly and you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time. And today it's the day to say, I'm going to put that under the lordship of Jesus. He beckons you to come, to get to know him. And you're going to find when you do that, your attitude changes. It changes from like, I feel really guilty because I haven't been reading my Bible. I know I should be doing that more. It changes into, I love spending time with the Lord. I delight in his word. I long to walk in step with his path. Like Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or take a seat in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever they do, check that out, whatever they do prospers. When Jesus is Lord of your life, you cannot fail. And I want to say it again, he wants all of you. Not just some of you, not just the parts that you want to give, he wants all of you. That's why we're calling it going all in. And he's going to give you a new identity. He's going to send you out on mission for him as he blesses you, as he prospers you beyond what you could ever ask or imagine. So trust him and live in grateful response as you follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, God of heaven and earth, we are humbled before you this morning, knowing that you are all-powerful and all-knowing, that we are mere mortals. And so Lord, we humble ourselves before you and we simply say, yes, God, to what you have. We want to receive it. Lord, would you set us free from the things that enslave us? Would you give us the courage this morning to lay down our fears, our sins, to seek redemption at the foot of the cross and to walk in newness of life because of Jesus. Lord, how good it is to know that we belong to the family of God, that we are your children, and you are a good heavenly Father. So thank you for Jesus, for his life and for his example, but more importantly, for his death and resurrection, for the victory that we know in him and through him, because we choose him today as our Lord and as our Savior, and we pray these things only in his name. Amen.